Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, April 26th. Coming up, the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether a president enjoys broad immunity from criminal prosecution after leaving office. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The annual Christie Clinic Illinois Race Weekend is underway. You were listening to Easton Rosen, the top male finisher of the Green Street Mile, with a time of 4 minutes and 25 seconds. The top female elite finisher was Laura Crassa. More than 200 people took part in last night's race. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., the Illinois 5K race will begin on Oak Street. It continues south on St. Mary's Road, runs through the University of Illinois campus, and finishes at Memorial Stadium. Tomorrow at 7:30 a.m., the marathon and half marathon begins. And at 8 a.m., the 10K. A reminder, there may be road closures throughout Champaign and Urbana as the runners make their way to Memorial Stadium. There's an effort underway in Illinois to decriminalize paid consensual sex work between adults. Alex Degman reports.
For Raina Ortiz, it's a matter of safety. She was a sex worker for 20 years. She told a City Club of Chicago luncheon that workers often don't seek help, even if they need it.
When sex workers face assault or see someone being assaulted or even see someone that they think is facing the violence of trafficking, they are unlikely to go to police for fear of being arrested ourselves.
Ortiz says a decriminalized industry would reserve more police resources to go after human traffickers. Equality Illinois is also pushing for decriminalization, but not necessarily legalization, which they say could open the door to burdensome regulations. I'm Alex Dagman.
A new report finds black people in Illinois are nearly 8 times more likely to experience homelessness than white people. The University of Illinois Chicago's Institute for Research on Race and Public Policy released its report on racial disparities in homelessness. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker was at the university yesterday to push for solutions to homelessness during this year's legislative session.
Our approach understands that homelessness is not an issue of personal failing, but of historical discrimination and structural barriers that have driven inequality for black families across the nation and, of course, right here in Illinois.
Pritzker included $250 million to fight homelessness in his proposed budget for next year. That funding would need approval from state legislators by the end of June. Earlier this week on Wednesday, President Joe Biden signed legislation that forces TikTok's China-based parent company to sell the app within 1 year or face a ban in the United States. Sam Hamm is a sophomore at the University of Illinois. He says the claim that TikTok is promoting Chinese propaganda isn't accurate.
It's just entertainment, right? It's funny videos that people like to watch because they're short and they're funny and you can scroll past them if you don't like them.
He says he uses the app for entertainment, cooking recipes, and short-form news. The Pew Research Center says one-third of young adults regularly gets news from TikTok. Still to come, the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether a president enjoys broad immunity from criminal prosecution after leaving office. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, our reporter roundtables. We'll talk about the potential effects of climate change on the Quad Cities, the challenge of trying to become a farmer, and what the Illinois General Assembly has been up to. Plus, a brief history of the Illinois Central Railroad. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Yesterday, a majority of the Supreme Court's conservatives signaled their support for President Trump's claim that he is immune to prosecution for his official acts while president. Nina Totenberg reports.
It's never smart to make predictions about what the Supreme Court will do, but after nearly 3 hours of oral argument, it certainly looked as though, at minimum, The conservative majority would send the case back to the trial judge to determine which of the charges against Trump involve private acts for which he can be prosecuted. That would make it realistically all but impossible for Trump to be tried prior to the election. As for the larger question, whether a former president is immune for his prior official acts, five of the conservative justices seem to embrace some version of such immunity. Trump maintains that the only way to prosecute a former president is for him to be impeached and convicted by the Senate first. The devil, of course, today was in the details. Chief Justice Roberts, for instance, asked whether the act of appointing an ambassador in exchange for $1 million could be a crime.
Giving somebody money isn't bribery unless you get something in exchange. And if what you get in exchange is to become the ambassador to a particular country, that is official, the appointment.
Justices Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas, and Kavanaugh all seem, to one degree or another, to voice support for the idea of immunity for a former president. Here, for instance, is Alito questioning the special counsel's lawyer, Michael Dreeben.
I mean, presidents have to make a lot of tough decisions. You don't think he's in a special, a peculiarly precarious position?
Making a mistake is not what lands you in a criminal prosecution.
Justice Kavanaugh, who served as staff secretary for President George W. Bush, suggested that generally applicable criminal laws should not apply to a former president for his official acts unless the law specified that it applied to former presidents, too.
Conspiracy to defraud the United States can be used against a lot of presidential activities historically within a creative prosecutor who wants to go after a president.
Of the conservative justices, only Amy Coney Barrett expressed skepticism about the breadth of Trump's immunity claim. Addressing the former president's lawyer, she rattled off some of the charges against Trump, asking whether each would be a private or official act. What about using a private lawyer to spread false claims in order to spearhead challenges to the election results? And what about organizing a scheme to submit fake electors to obstruct congressional certification of the election results? Trump's lawyer said that both of those sounded private, prompting this from Barrett.
So those acts you would not dispute. Those were private, and you wouldn't raise a claim that they were official.
Trump's lawyer, John Sauer, hedged at that point, eventually saying that the indictment should not go forward. Justice Kagan, one of the court's three liberal justices, posed this question.
How about if a president orders the military to stage a coup?
That might well be an official act, and he would have to be, as I'll say in response to all these kinds of hypotheticals, has to be impeached and convicted before he can be criminally prosecuted. But I emphasize to the court that—
Well, he's gone. He's no longer president.
Lawyer Sauer reiterated a president could not be prosecuted unless he's been impeached and convicted by the Senate.
He told the generals, I don't feel like leaving office. I want to stage a coup. Is that immune?
If it's an official act, there needs to be impeachment and conviction beforehand.
That sure sounds bad, doesn't it?
Justice Barrett followed up.
There are many other people who are subject to impeachment, including the nine sitting on this bench. And I don't think anyone has ever suggested that impeachment would have to be the gateway to criminal prosecution for any of the many other officers subject to impeachment. So why is the president different when the impeachment clause doesn't say so?
As Kagan had indicated, the court's liberals were far more concerned with the possibility that a president would abuse his power if he were free from any realistic possibility of criminal prosecution. Here's Justice Jackson.
I'm trying to understand what the disincentive is from turning the Oval Office into, the seat of criminal activity in this country.
Defending the charges against Trump, lawyer Michael Dreeben disputed the notion that prosecutors would run wild at all levels of government in seeking to prosecute former presidents.
There is no perfect system here. We are trying to design a system that preserves the effective functioning of the presidency and the accountability of a former president under the rule of law.
Justice Sotomayor chimed in.
In the end, if it fails completely, it's because we've destroyed our democracy on our own, isn't it?
A decision in the case won't come until June at the earliest. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be a mix of clouds and sunshine with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 64 degrees. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Jade Marceau, Alex Degman, May Anthar, and Nina Totenberg. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.